This is Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Curtis, before we get back to the Red Sox drama and the Four Nations passion of the week, salary cap in the NFL is launching upward, expected to be at $277 to $281 million, much more than clubs had been anticipating. In December, they were told $265 might be where it is. So that's almost a $22 million leap forward, maybe as much as $26 million.
Why don't you do me a favor, Ken, and view the salary cap the way we view the dollar under Biden? What a dollar is today is very different than what a dollar is 4 years from now.
I know. Inflation's just going crashing down here since the new administration took over.
Oh, yeah. That usually happens overnight. Anyway, it did when they spent trillions of dollars we didn't have. If you increase the amount of a commodity, you decrease the value. It's pretty simple.
Eggs are just flying off the shelves these days.
Well, actually, they're not. People are being arrested for shoplifting. But anyway,
how's that happening? But everything was fixed.
What are you talking about? It's no longer legal to shoplift. Anyway, I don't know how we got down this road. It's pretty simple. The amount of money you spend today in terms of cap dollars is 20 to 30% less than it will be in 2 to 3 years. So when people say these deals are these onerous contracts that come back to bite you, A, if you guarantee the money, it comes off the cap. And B, if you backload the crap out of it, the cap will be so much greater that dollar will be a fraction of what it costs today. This has been the point all along.
That's all good, and I agree with you. However, do we expect Robert Kraft to, whatever it takes, defer money, backload them, anything you're talking about? And is this on deck here, what we saw in 2021 with the largest full guarantee for a tight end in NFL history with Jonnu Smith, and then Hunter Henry and Matthew Judon, and who else? Jalen Mills and Devon Godshaw and Nelson Aguilar. Kendrick Bourne. It was an unbelievable offseason of spending. And we haven't seen a sniff of it since. Not a sniff.
Right. Well, two things will happen. One, they will spend because they have to. But I hope it's not like that. I hope it is top-heavy like you read about. I don't care about the Jonnu Smiths. Obviously, Hunter Henry worked out, but he's not going to be the reason you win a Super Bowl. If you build this team and you trade for DK Metcalf, and you give him a deal at the top of the market, I told you whenever we last talked about it that I would have given T. Higgins the number one. Maybe it was with Greg and Shime. I would have given T. Higgins the most money ever guaranteed for a receiver.
Now, why are people saying that's not possible? I mean, do we really believe the Bengals are going to get that done? I mean, they're talking tough, but I am not giving up hope on T. Higgins. I don't want to.
I don't really care who it is, as long as there's someone that's in that talent sphere. Whether it's trading, whether it's signing and money, you know, guaranteeing money up the butt for the guy that left the Jets that played with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers,
Devontae Adams.
Yeah. If you go out and you trade, you know, I don't think Cooper Kupp is that player, but you know, if you trade, that's sort of it. DK Metcalf, trade, you know,
second round pick,
and guarantee him $120 million. He'll love Massachusetts again. You need to spend for those kinds of players, because I trust this staff more than I trusted last year's staff, head coach excluded. I trust the ability for this organization to do things right, find guys the way Vrabel did with the Titans. They did a great job of building a solid structure with a foundational approach that was tough, disciplined, and overachieved. And now I see this Patriots team, they just need to trade or sign or just spend money up the butt. They have more money than you could ever imagine.
Put that on a t-shirt.
But they have so much money they haven't spent. 2 years ago they didn't spend, they paid for a stupid video board. Last year they didn't spend because Bill Belichick didn't get hired. What's their excuse this year?
Well, the excuse, I guess, and to your point, they have to spend. What is the number that they have to actually spend cap-wise? Even that, I guess, could be, you know, manipulated. But aren't you concerned that even though they have $124 million of cap space to spend, Robert Kraft may not have that cash handy or willing to spend? Like, yes, he can defer it, but are they actually going to put that cash out there? Because they got to take it out of the bank and give it to some guys. And that is the challenge.
But the other thing is, like, I know this is a separate topic, but it's really not. I just saw a tweet from the Patriots saying good luck to the Revolution with a picture of Mike Vrabel in a Revs jersey, you know, and I saw they gave them to Jones and Keefe. Great, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to view the Crafts as I viewed Belichick and others. How great of an owner are you if you don't have the greatest player of all time? Like, the Revs have sucked forever. Awful. One of the worst-run franchises in all of sports. The Patriots, the last 5 years, 4 years, whatever, 5 years, 4 years, whatever it's been, have been one of the worst teams in football. Over the last 20 years, they have spent the second fewest actual real dollars of all 32 NFL teams. So maybe this is just what they are. They suck. They're not good owners.
Well, I mean, that's if you put everything on the greatest player of all time, is they're nothing without him, and you know they have no role in bringing him here and developing him and keeping him for 20 years and all that.
Well, I'm not talking about Bill. This is separate from Bill. I'm talking about the Kraft family and owning this team. The way they own the Rebs, they stink. They've never really been good. You have the Patriots, who outside of, you know, the window with the greatest player of all time, they haven't done anything. And they lost the best coach and the best quarterback of all time, and they got nothing in return.
Well, we like the way they're headed, right, with Vrabel. We both agree that's a good signing and a good start. And he's got the hammer, so that's a great thing. And I do think they're going to have a combination of trade plus signing. It's really the Red Sox model, right? They traded for Crochet. They signed Bregman, Chapman, Buehler, etc. Good.
Right. I want teams to emulate the Red Sox, who haven't even won a game yet.
But back to Metcalf. It makes so much sense because this franchise, I don't know, maybe they've changed. Maybe Vrabel's can draft elite receiver talent, A.J. Brown and all that stuff. But traditionally, nobody believes they can actually successfully take a receiver at the top of the draft and make it work. So the next best thing is to trade for a guy in his first big free agent contract and extend them, so a proven commodity. So why not trade the second-round pick for DK Metcalf, who's not that old, he's 27. I mean, it just, that makes all the sense in the world. That has to get done.
Of course, there's no reason not to do it. You have the need. You've shown, you know, if you want to go back and find the inflection point where the fork in the road where this team went to sucking instead of continuing to win, it's really N'Keal Harry. Everything else really comes off of that. But
same draft year, right?
Right. Two picks later. If you take DK Metcalf instead of N'Keal Harry.
It's actually, that makes it kind of an embarrassing trade on top of it. I mean, it's painful. Either way, I'm fine with it. But it does point out how absurd that was.
But what better way for Vrabel to say this is my team than to make one of the guys that was a part of that look bad in your front office right now?
Right. Good point.
I mean, and so you could Drake May, I also, by the way, nothing against Drake May as a player. Like, every time I turn on an app, he's got a new podcast he's on. Like,
I like it coming out of his shell.
Let's win. Let's do things. Let's show those turnovers were not really your fault, which I don't believe they were. But I would like him to, I don't know, maybe that's just the old Patriot way in me, but I just feel like you've seen a lot of Drake May this offseason.
Well, you're only going to hear him here in the fall on 93.7 WEI.
And can't wait.
Mic'd up Mondays in the morning, and you're going to have the new Drake May, the new and improved Drake May in the afternoon.
How much do you think it will be more tense after a rough loss with Vrabel than it was with Bill because of how, like, he wears his emotions on his sleeve?
Different tense. I think he's going to give it back to you guys. I think he enjoys the give and take. He got to sit out and see it, and he wasn't like a media star, right? But he's done some of it. I think he likes Greg. I think you and Vrabel are going to be interesting. I don't know how that's going to go. But I think he's ready to engage, and he'll be Belichick-like, but fun, more fun.
Yeah, I really am looking forward to it. I think it's going to be an interesting, very interesting season down there because I do think the Patriots should be a winning team if they have a good offseason. Like, I don't think it's this long runway to get better. Like, I if Vrabel's a really good coach and if they fix the O-line, bring in a receiver, I think the team is good.
774 texture, Curtis, are you seeing the bigger picture that it wasn't all Bill's fault?
Because the guy that wanted Tom gone was the one that expedited the demise, and Bill also is like the Crafts and has never won without Tom, so I kind of put them together there.
Back to the Red Sox 207 texture, and by the way, you can text the show 617-779-7937, same place you could call it. What do you guys think about the long-term implications of Devers, given that Bregman is probably gone after this year, maybe 2 years at best? That is interesting. You got to admit that. If Devers is ripped off a third, Are you going to try to put him back there in 2 years, or are you just worry about that 2 years down the road?
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But Cora's deal is done in 3 years, right?
3 year deal, yep.
So they're you know, if Bregman doesn't opt out, they're together for 3 years too. So I don't think Cora's worried about 5 years from now. Look at the farm system. Look, will there be anything can change in that span? I think a 3 year window is what you're interested in. And they believed their Achilles heel was infield defense, and they made a big change to fix that, and the people that are being impacted by it are bothered, but they can scream and yell, that's fine, but if they don't play, they don't get paid.
And the Yankees are panicking. They are abandoning their moral principles by allowing facial hair. So this whole week has rattled the Yankees.
Such a weird, like, why is that, who cares? I don't get why that's, like, that was like the leading story at ESPN.com yesterday.
Before we get to the lineup and all the news, let's go, I know you love to talking to Pauly and Dedham. On the Pats and their spending. Hello, Pauly. Good morning.
Ken, I love you, man. Probably my favorite guy at WEI. Okay. No question about it. I love you, brother.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, hey, Ken, before I get going here, have you ever seen Joe Bonamassa? And if you haven't, make sure you're there at MGM Music Hall next Friday night.
Oh, really?
The 28th. And you, I'm telling you, brother, he will blow your doors off.
I saw.
He's
Dropkick Murphys are headed there in a couple weeks. That's going to be a big show. Maybe next week.
Oh, wait. Go see Joe Bonamassa. He'll blow your mind,
right.
Dude.
His name
He'll
just changed. Is
well
it Bonamassa or Massa?
Bonamassa.
Bonamassa.
B-O-N-A-M-A-S-S-A. Blues Titan.
Ooh.
Unreal.
Ooh.
Anyway, go see him, Ken. You'll love it.
All right.
But, yeah,
okay.
Patriots. They got to go for the low-hanging fruit in terms of a receiver. They got to run right out and sign a tackle. If they have to overpay to get a tackle in free agency or via trade, they got to do it because they need two of them. And they're not going to be able to come up with two solid tackles in the draft. They'll be lucky if they can come up with one. So you got to go out and get that offensive tackle. You got to set the protection. That's what I said after they hired Vrabel, what have you. I said, now they got to set the protection. And they did. They came, went right out and hired Marrone, one of the best offensive line coaches in the game. And I got Skarnecki backing them up. We're all set there. Just got to bring in some guys that can play a couple of tackles. They're fine in the interior. Once you kick and run you inside, you got So, you got Robinson, you got other guys can play. You got Strange coming back. I think we're going to be all right inside. You just got to get those tackle positions.
I love having Strange come back. That is going to be a huge, huge
moment.
Well,
he's unproven. I mean, let's give him some time.
Who do you think is less relevant next year, Cole Strange or Bill Bonamassa?
Joe Bonamassa, blues legend. ESPN.com is projecting Alaric Jackson, the Rams' 6'7" tackle, to end up in New England. What do you think about Alaric Jackson? Have you broken down
pass
box
set? Pad level a little too high for me.
Well, he's a big guy. It's tough to get that pad level down.
But I got to tell you, wingspan, like you read about.
But it is concerning. Anytime like somebody like that, okay, he's like the 40th highest rated free agent. Well, why are the Rams letting him go? That's something, you know, it's back to Chuks Okorafor. There's a reason this guy's available on the market, you know.
What a signing. Oh, my God. What a disaster.
Well, it was a disaster. We had a lot of disasters lately, but it was a good week. Let's bask in the glory of the week.
I love it. USA.
Red Sox and USA. I mean, two things that are back in a big way. And Curtis, by the way, back on Monday.
Hey, Ken, you just missed it. The red, white, and blues.
Oh, that's it. That is a beautiful thing. And here's Zach Coe with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Bruins return to action tonight after the Four Nations break over at the Garden. They'll welcome the Anaheim Ducks. These will be without Charlie McAvoy, who's still battling that shoulder infection, as well as Hampus Lindholm, who hasn't practiced with the team at all this week. Jeremy Swayman expected to be in net. Puck drop from the Garden at 7. Red Sox opening Grapefruit League play this afternoon in Port Charlotte, taking on the Rays. Sidon Rafaela, Roman Anthony, and Marcelo Meyer among the notable names who will make the trip, while Quinn Priester gets the start for the Sox. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI 93.7 FM. First pitch set for 1 o'clock. Celtics have a second consecutive off day after Thursday night's blowout win over the 76ers. They'll return to action tomorrow night when they host Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks over at the Garden, tip-off at 1. After an offseason that saw them bring in 14 new players, the Revs will be in action tonight kicking off the 2025 season. They head to Nashville for a matchup with Nashville SC, kickoff at 8:30. We're less than a month away from Selection Sunday as conference play heats up in the college basketball world. Slate today including two top 10 matchups. First, number 6, Tennessee heading to College Station to take on number 7, Texas A&M. Then number 8, Iowa State traveling to number 5, Houston. Elsewhere across the country, a big West Coast Conference matchup as Gonzaga hosts St. Mary's. Don't forget, you can hear Westwood One's coverage of that one right here on WEEI starting at 7:45. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
This is Ken and Curtis, WEEI.
Yo, is this Bonamassa, Zach?
It is, yeah.
There we go. Paulie says check him out at the MGM Music Hall. Curtis, what do you think?
I'm more of a hip-hop guy than blues.
Fair enough. But you're a baseball guy this week. Headed to the Fort. We'll be there all week with Greg Hill Show. Greg and I spent a lot of time together. Took a little Greg Hill Roadshow scouting trip. Went south, and we scouted a very, very nice location. It's going to kick off summer, Curtis. It's going to be lit, as the kids say. It's going to be
south,
awesome.
South, what date is this?
This will be end of May, early June.
Alrighty.
So this is going to be a banger. And a new location. There'll be a few new locations this year for the Roadshow, which is always a big hit. But back to the Red Sox. We had a caller who just dropped off who was wanted to compare Casas to Marcus Smart. Do you like that comp?
No, not at all. I think Marcus Smart was, I understand, you know, outsized ego, but Smart was a guy you could totally rely on defensively. I feel like that's insulting. As someone who has been on the right side of history of Brady and Marcus Smart, you know, I'd love to take a victory dance for the nonsensical reaction Celtics fans had to his departure.
And the poor guy's now marooned with the Wizards. What a punishment that is.
I mean, just imagine thinking that that was going to hurt this organization and still having a microphone. But either way, I sit back today and I laugh at the Marcus Smart defenders and I laugh at the Tristan Casas defenders. But I will say Marcus Smart did more to be a winning player than Casas does. So I wouldn't give him that that title just yet.
Now, you would agree, though, if Casas stays healthy, 30 home run guy for sure, maybe 40, could be 40, which people all of a sudden become a fan when balls are flying out of Fenway in the summer, like you read about. No,
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Casas is this way today when he's done really nothing of note in the big leagues over a full season, correct?
24 homers 2 years ago. Last year he missed 4 months. I agree. Yes. Not
2 years ago, how many games did he play?
He played in 132.
Okay. So full season is really, to me, over 140. If you're missing 30 games, that's a pretty big miss.
Okay.
He has done nothing, and he has this ego. What do you think he'll be like if he plays a full season and hits 40 bombs?
It's his quote this week, which you and I both believe he's going to get traded. But his quote this week, I guess, it's either somebody who's afraid for his job or it's somebody who's trying to curry favor with Devers.
Do you honestly think he gives a damn about Devers? Come on, Ken.
Wait till the documentary comes out, the that's like next month, right? Because he's in the preview of it. That he's already featured. We're going to have a lot of Devers in there. Or sorry, Casas. He's going to be featured prominently. So this will come to a head soon. There's going to be a lot of Tristan Casas in our lives. Easier to trade Casas or Devers right now?
Casas.
Okay, we agree. Now to Danny and Quincy. Danny, by the way, I was just in Puerto Rico. Danny is a big Jamaica guy. I've never been to Jamaica. Have you ever been to Kingston, Curtis?
Never have.
It's tough to top Puerto Rico. My God, it's quick. It's 3.5 hours.
Oh, weather's perfect. People are nice.
Danny,
awesome
Danny, have you been to Puerto Rico? I mean,
many, many times, brother. I've been to Caribbean. I used to be a broker for the cruise line, so I got to travel all over the Caribbean since the 1970s, Ken.
I've been there a million times. But Jamaica's your favorite.
I set up roots in Jamaica because my friend and I that I grew up with, his parents bought land in Jamaica in the 60s. They built a house. Him and I ran trips down there through college, and we bought our own land down there. So I have a soft spot for Jamaica. Puerto Rico's beautiful. The landscape is the same as Jamaica. Waterfalls, mountains.
I mean, jungle. I wasn't. I went out to the rainforest. It is legit.
El Yunque?
Oh, man.
El Yunque.
It is legit jungle. It is like there is nothing there.
It's a rainforest. And, Danny, I have a question. When you worked for the cruises, were you in customer service?
No. I was on the marketing end of it. I used to cruise. I used to block 800 cabins every month on different cruise lines and then resell them.
Wow.
I was in the wholesale end of it. So, I got to go on all the ships.
How long were those conversations on the phone?
But Puerto Rico's beautiful, Ken. But I have a soft spot for Jamaica. Jamaica is just, I set up roots there a long time ago. The culture, the music, the food,
right.
The people.
Do they know we're not all like you, Danny? Do they, think?
You know something, man? I introduced the EI to Jamaica back in the mid-90s.
Ooh.
I'm not Danny from Quincy in Jamaica. I'm Danny Man from Quincy in Jamaica. You know, Danny!
Right.
Put that station on. I want to listen to
Sox
American
baseball.
Sports.
Yeah,
because all they know is cricket and soccer. You know.
When I think Jamaica, I think Dale Arnold.
I'm not going to touch that one, Curtis. So, all right. So, anyway, as far as the hockey go, Ken, you asked at the beginning of the show. You said, "How could they recreate what they had this year?" And I'm just saying, well, it's going to be Canada's. Aspiration to hold on what they achieved, and America's aspiration to beat Canada. So that will be enough.
Yeah, but you can't guarantee they're going to play again in a final, like a week after playing them in Montreal, to have them in Boston. It's just everything about it was so spontaneous and unexpected.
That's true. But, ESPN, I mean, it's too bad that the game, I had to listen to the game on the radio because I don't have ESPN, I don't have cable, I got rid of everything. So the NHL would have done themselves a favor if they had put the game on national TV, national network TV. Channel 5, I thought, was going to cover the game like they did the Saturday night game, but they didn't. So how much more exposure would they would have had if the game had been on national network television? It would have doubled. It would have doubled.
Danny, as someone that worked in the cruise industry, you know Disney's a business, and that's what – I mean, I agree, but
well,
that's –
I hear you, man, but I'm just giving you my opinion. And, you know, your boy Ray Kroft did a good job on the – I had to listen to the game on the radio, but his partner – message to Ray Kroft, tell your colleague to give the friggin' score once in a while.
Cool, yes.
The last 5 minutes of the game in overtime – I mean, not overtime.
In overtime, I would guess that you would know
tied. The third period, he never gave the score because I was in and out on the radio. It's hard to listen to hockey on the radio.
I text Fleming every inning, give the score. That's what I do.
Right. He was terrible. Terrible. Anyway, as far as –
Was that a splitter?
Goes, against. They say against. Anyway, as far as Devin goes, I'd trade that fat ass right out of Boston right now. 28 years old, 2 years in 2 years is no trade is going to kick in. The guy had 278 last year. He had played in 138 games, and he's not the face of the franchise. As far as I'm concerned, he's not. He's not a leader.
Well, who is?
He's not an alpha. He's not an alpha leader in that team, Ken.
Yes, he is. He's a 30 home run guy 4 years in a row. I think he's well liked in there.
You know, Ken, he's not worth the contract. He's a one dimensional player. And as far as John Henry, Curtis, where did you have the team before they signed Bregman?
My Petco had him at 84 and a half.
Well, okay, and then so now because of
the
Bregman, and I like Bregman.
Ape squared plus B squared.
Yeah, Bregman. I like Bregman, but he's on the back nine of his career. He's not the same Bregman.
I mean, you're calling in from Jamaica, and you're talking about other people being on the back nine. I mean, geez.
Oh, come on.
He's not putting this team in first place, Kerr. As you said, the team would finish first with the Bregman signing.
I agree.
Are you kidding me?
I am not. I wish I was, Danny. I love a good laugh. I believe in my loins that the Boston Red Sox will win the American League East.
Ooh.
And for the first time...
John Henry did nothing for the last 6 years. The guy was an absentee owner. He signs one player at the behest of Cora. And you're going to put him in the friggin' Hall of Fame as owners now?
Danny, don't hang up. Let's go back and forth. I love you. Let me just say this. I don't think there has been anybody more vocally against this ownership group than I have been the last 5 years.
Right.
Ken, would you agree?
I would agree. Concur.
Okay, secondly.
Exactly.
So honest when it comes to this. I thought there was zero chance that the John Henry we saw lighting up that, I hope it wasn't a Cuban, cigar, was going to return to the table. This explains the Cora signing. I understand their thought process. Don't agree with it. Understand their thought process last year that they weren't ready to, quote, invest, unquote. This year, they have the top prospect. They have a team that has a pitching staff that is legitimate. And their biggest flaw as an organization last year was infield defense. They brought in a guy overpaid to bring him here to play third base because I believe they know this team is close and they're not done. I could see them trading for Vladdy. Why not?
Oh, he's still my heart.
I would trade. You could trade him to the Angels. I'd bring in Trout. I'd take Trout over Devers. Trout, the Angels finished last. I'd trade him to Detroit, the Mets. There are plenty of teams that would take on Devers. His no trade doesn't kick in for two more years. The guy is just, he's not an alpha. The same with Mookie Betts. He went to the Dodgers so he could be in obscurity, whatever you call it. You still there?
I would not say that
is the word I was looking for. Mookie Betts would not be a leader in Boston, which is why those 10-year-plus contracts. Oof.
That 2018 Sox team was really hamstrung.
Okay, Daddy. Thank you very much.
I mean, let's not go. I don't want to do the Betts thing. It just sounds silly from my perspective. Yeah. I don't care if he's a leader or not. He's the best player on a championship team, and he is a legit superstar in Major League Baseball. Secondly, I think you can have an opinion that shifts with different outcomes in front of you. And I am not going to say that John Henry is the greatest owner in sports today, but in ways that the Patriots never did, the Red Sox have been in the top half of spending in baseball every year. I believe
last year.
Okay.
Last year they were like 13th. That was the lowest they've ever been.
Okay, but that's still the top half.
Yeah, yep.
There's 30 teams.
Oh, so, top half. Yeah.
Right. So every team that they fielded had a roster that was more expensive than over half the rest of Major League Baseball. For the last 20 years, or whatever the SpoTrack number that's been shared a million times, the New England Patriots have been the second least spending team. And yet we view these two as equals. Secondly, what John Henry has done as the owner of the Red Sox, winning four championships with three different managers and three different general managers, is more impressive than winning six Super Bowls with the same coach and quarterback. So I believe if he is incentivized to spend and is not worried about investments in other cities and other sports, that he is an excellent owner for this team. And the signing of Alex Bregman and how that rearranged your infield defense, to me, signified that they were ready to be at the table again, and I don't think you can dispute that.
And, I mean, the rotation, this is not like, the greatest rotation of all time, but Crochet, Buehler, my man, Baby Pedro, Giolito, Tanner Houck, Cutter Crawford.
I also heard this, I just saw this, I don't know if it's true, Crochet opening for Boonarama this Friday night.
For Bonamassa.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Crochet's pitching tomorrow. Today, it's the great Quinn Priester on the hill, who I saw at Chase Field in his last big league start, and he got
rocked. One would think he would pitch on Sunday, Ken.
Okay. Let's go to Tarek in Boston. Hello, Tarek.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're great.
Oh, I thought I already spoke to the guy.
Yeah, you're on the air. You're good.
Oh, I'm on the air. Sorry, fellas. I thought I was dealing with your producer. But, the caller before had made a question, obviously Devers' leadership, I get it. We're all questioning it. We're questioning his diet. But to question Mookie Betts' leadership when we just come off a World Series, he's always in shape, he's always at the top of his game. I don't see any parallels but one, and I'm not even going to say it out loud because I don't want to go down that route. But you got to be careful with that because when you say face of the franchise and then you have two diametrically opposed players, they don't have similar face, but not for this franchise. You got to be real careful with that because that's not the problem with this team. The problem with this team is you have to decide what you want them to do, not ask them what you want them to do. But I think what Cora did was set Devers up. Do you want to move? No. Okay. Now you got to prove to me that you should stay at third base, which he won't.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think we've seen enough evidence. Thanks, Tarek. Evidence that he's not going to prove. So is he creating a competition and hoping Devers fails? That's kind of weird. Like he's going to run him out there until he fails and then say, look, it's not working out, buddy.
This is a move by a manager. We all agree Alex Cora has his pulse, the finger of the pulse of the team, correct? Like, he's pretty connected with those guys. They relate to him, everything.
I believe in Alex. I believe in AC. He is the face of the franchise if you want to include him. You're right about that.
Thank you.
It's Cora's team.
And, you know, he's a guy that, say what you will, was the first time I ever had the chance to speak with him, not immediately after sitting down or, you know, being rushed on and off the stage in Springfield or whatever for the winter weekends of years past. And he is a guy that is just confident. Like, he has a presence. He believes deeply that he knows best, and I don't think he's easily dissuaded off of his point of view. And what the reaction, you know, we spend so much time on what Devers said and what Casas said, and I feel like you're missing it. Cora, I believe, had a pretty strong inclination that that was going to be their reaction, which is why he is here, that being Alex Bregman. He sees this roster as talented enough, a team that if there is a need, the way there was for Bregman, they have the prospect ammunition and the financial wherewithal with an ownership group that's back invested to trade for Vladimir Guerrero, to trade for Crochet and extend him before the season, to address problems the way the team used to.
So do you think this is, we're seeing like step one of a five-step process that hasn't played out yet?
Absolutely.
Because Wiggy thinks he mismanaged it, and I don't think there's anything else Cora could have done to this point differently. They couldn't inform Devers he's out until they signed Bregman and got that done.
But Wiggy's point on this is so counter to how he views everything else. Like, he defends Belichick day in and day out for getting results that Cora just got. Like, Cora did a Belichickian move.
Really, it
he
is
said,
true. Yep.
I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about this kid Casas. Like, can't you just picture Belichick saying, well, he's not in Canton yet? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I could see him mocking in private the way Casas has reacted to this and laughing, saying, this is what I had hoped. This team needs a new energy. Bregman is the guy that Cora has been after. There have been more talented players, we agree, that have been available in free agency. Did we hear Cora wax poetic about Juan Soto? Did we hear him compare him to Ted Williams? Did we hear him say, I mean, we knew that Cora's number one priority was Alex Bregman, and this is why.
One problem with Bregman. Teddy Johnson, who covered him in Houston, tells me he starts slow every year. So it's going to be a slow first month of Bregman with the bat. So that's not great. I don't like hearing that. I mean, he'll rise to the occasion, I guess. Good leader already. That's great. But I'm worried if he gets off to a tough start, then Devers is going to really get, this guy can't hit. Why is he at third?
Why don't we tell him it's May?
Well, I think we should. Can I take you to the principal's office on a Saturday?
Yeah, I just need a restraining order for this guy.
It's a little heated. Let's keep it fair.
Oh, it's not heated. I don't think about him at all, but he is obsessed with me. Huh? It's a very odd behavior.
I live in your head, unfortunately, but I would love to have a civil conversation. So I have two
questions. I never think about you. You wake up every day in a Twitch chat as a grown adult.
No.
We appreciate you listening, Dave.
No, don't. I love it. I love listening.
You were begging to fill in for me in the Twitch chat as a principal.
I'm not begging. It was a vacation week. I could have come on in and give it free. Pay needed.
It is beneath the anyway, man of your status.
Go ahead.
I wanted civil here conversation. So I have two questions for you. So for Curtis, and I would love to, because I do believe at times you do have pretty intelligent takes in sports. Okay. So number one, what happened to the Chicago Bulls after Michael Jordan left? Because I would consider Brady the Jordan of basketball football. Correct. So what happened to them? Did they ever recover?
I predicted Ken was sitting to my right on March 17th, 2020. Go back and get the tape. I said the New England Patriots will now resemble the post-Jordan Bulls. Quote, unquote.
Then I'll give you that.
But a year later, we both thought they would beat the Bills in the playoff game. But that's fine.
So the second question is, because you had a take earlier where you said that for 20 years, the Patriots were the second, I think you said, the second lowest payroll in the league or spending, right? I believe you said that. So if that is true, if that fact is true, which I have no reason to believe it's not, then how can you sit there and bash Belichick as a coach if he wasn't given the – and I don't tell me about the 1 year that they spent. They're not spending, and you didn't have a franchise quarterback. So how can you get on Belichick for that? I would love to hear your answer on that.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave.
So two things, Dave. First of all, when you have the greatest quarterback who elevates those around you, you're able to spend less. I believe it was not just a Kraft decision. Belichick had a budget for the football team, whatever that was, and he paid himself and his staff, and he kept the rest. And so there was a significant portion of money that Kraft spent on the coach that he took away from the on-field product. Make sense, Ken?
You believe Brady took less, Bill never did, for the benefit of the team.
I believe that Bill Belichick was brilliant at convincing players like Tom Brady that if they were selfless, they could build a better team around him. And you've heard contemporary players like that played with or against Brady saying he damaged the union because he hurt other players, especially on the Patriots. Because if Tom's making $25 million and Peyton Manning's making $30 million, then how could Matt Light say, I want to be the highest paid left tackle when the quarterback of the team isn't the highest paid quarterback and he's going to the Hall of Fame? Make sense?
God, I hope they're not the Bulls. The Bulls have still never recovered.
But, I mean, that's what happened. And we have now been, with the benefit of hindsight, or the benefit of history, we now see the reason why coaching trees matter is because you can see if the scheme travels.
And you don't believe Vrabel's on his tree.
No. You can see when you have McVay or you have these guys that are the Shanahan disciples, there are very similar blueprints all across the NFL of these offenses that have been taken, replicated, and restarted by different people using the same tenets that were created by the initial coach, whether it's Parcells or Holmgren or Bill Walsh or Andy Reid or whomever. The reason why this is all together, Ken, is that the tree has never succeeded because the scheme only works with the quarterback.
Well, it worked in
Alabama. That's why.
Worked with Saban. Maybe not in the NFL. Was Mayo...
Well, how did it work at Rivers? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Was Gerard Mayo Tom Thibodeau or Vinny Del Negro in the Bulls comparison?
Gerard Mayo. He was Tex Winner.
Okay.
Triangle offense. I love it.
Mayo and Shime at 11. We'll do a crossover, perhaps, but a lot of calls. Boy, people are fired up. I love the Red Sox passion is back. Good. It's back. Games today at 1. Can you believe it?
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Sox baseball on the radio at 1 with Will Fleming and Brad Foe. Ken and Curtis now. Chris Curtis, his last day in Florida, right, Curtis? You're coming back for a day and then going back to the fort on Monday.
Yep, heading home today, and then I'm actually going to see the great Greg from Whalers tomorrow.
Ooh.
At the Children's Museum. Going to do a big family thing there, and then we've got on Monday, got the show, and then I'm flying down next to Wiggy in first class. And,
oh, you are, you upgraded too.
I did, yep. Jeez. Only 10,000 Delta miles, boom, sat next to him, and he doesn't know that yet. Greg and Griff will be in the back trying to have a tuna sandwich just like Oscar did in the office. So it'll be a big night.
A big week. And Mego's here for a little crossover. She's up with Shime 11-1 up into the game. I didn't know this, Curtis, but Mego can explain. There are going to be dueling documentaries next month. Not only the Red Sox documentaries out, but remember Wick was telling us about that Celtics doc?
Oh, yeah. Coming out March 3rd.
Yeah, so we're going to have... So Mego, you got a glimpse of this last night, right?
Yeah, I went to the premiere last night in Boston, hosted by HBO Max, the Celtics, and Bill Simmons of The Ringer. And it was really good. They screened one of the middle episodes. And I don't want to, like, give too much away. But what I think... It's by the same person who's behind The Last Dance and the OJ Made in America documentaries. So I think, like, what's important for people going into it to know about it is that it's pretty brutally honest. Like, it has all the glorification of the Celtics from the episode that I saw, but it also does not shy away from some of the reputational stuff, some of the infighting within the organization or the drama, what's real, what's not. It was really
like recent infighting or backwards, going back to the 80s?
No, this was the episode that I saw was from just the 80s.
Okay.
But I do believe that it goes back all the way to the earliest days of the Celtics up to 2024.
Pretty cool. I don't know if that's going to compete with Cassis, Curtis. He's a star. He's going to be featured in the Sox doc.
But, you know, we've been talking about the roster and evolving and all this stuff. Like, Bill Simmons, whether you, like, I'm not a huge fan of his stuff, not because I don't, it's just too in the weeds for me about some NBA stuff, but as a rule, Bill Simmons was the Boston guy on, what was it, Digital City Boston in the mid-90s. And he really created the Boston sports fan that has now, like, taken over Hollywood and everywhere. At every stage, he has been three steps ahead of everybody else. Like, his career arc is such a lesson in being like, okay, we have to adapt, we have to evolve, because he's had how many incarnations? I mean, with Grantland and with ESPN and the 30 for 30s. I think he was part of the back. I think he was the group that really created the 30 for 30. Because we all remember the 4 days in October one that he produced and was on was spectacular about the 04 stuff. So if Bill Simmons is part of the production team, I think it'll be worth your time.
To the phones before we get out of here and give away to Mego and Shine. Chris in the truck on Sox Endeavors. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just want to say that I'm not happy that you just got back from Puerto Rico and that Curtis is in Florida. My answer to that is no. But I just wanted to say that I'm on Devers' side with all this. The guy, you know, he's played for third base his whole career. Now they want him to switch to DH or first base. The only way any of this happens is if Yoshida gets, somehow you get rid of his contract, you get rid of him.
Well, the Yoshida stuff is weird. They're going to try to put him back in the field, where he's worse than Devers at third and left.
I'm sorry, but, like, I don't get the Devers defenders at all. I don't get it at all. This is not something where it's a lifetime appointment at third base.
I give him a week or so. I mean, you can understand that, right? It'll take a while to come to grips with what's happening. But if this continues for weeks, then obviously.
Come to grips. Right. They've been talking about this with Bregman for months.
Mego's
so right.
Nobody
Ken.
Thought like, they would actually sign Bregman.
But think about it this way. We all believe that there's no way Cora is publicly pursuing a free agent that would take over the position of Rafael Devers without speaking with him first, correct?
Well, right, but he sees a hole at second and just says, we'll put him there. Why do I have to move?
Okay, but what I'm saying is that whatever
you're
Cora
not as
is
good.
Seeing, right, exactly.
That's like, why. Why do you have to move? Because somebody who's better at your job came in.
There
happens
is, right.
to everybody.
There's some status thing with just being the DH, which I guess.
Right. I mean, Mego, I don't want to get into it, but Ken shibbed Rickard. I mean, my goodness. I mean, the guy's here for a month.
Mego doesn't
already
remember
going up.
Rickard. Were you here for the Rickard era?
Oh, yeah. I got a bagel with him. He was very. He was a very nice man.
Yes, very nice.
Very, very nice.
Yep.
Thriving in Charlotte. My man, Jeff.
What you did to him.
Mm-hmm. It was really.
You really
Bregman
that situation.
I just gave him a little push. I mean,
I can't wait for the Bill Simmons docuseries on that story. My God.
Laird versus Rickard.
Hey, I can be vicious, as you know.
Two electric personalities put together.
All right. Well, Mr. Electricity, you got any final thoughts here before we give way to.
Oh, no. I can't wait. I will see you, Ken, Monday. And yep. Mego, is it Shime?
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yep.
All right. Mego Shime leading into Sox baseball. The first exhibition baseball game that actually matters to someone in years today at 1.
And Shime with his clogs and no socks today. So it's a little volatile.
God. Shime has just transformed into a new person. I hate when people make big life changes and then change the way they act. Those people are
the
worst.
He's evolving. He's like Rafi. All right. Mego and Shime next. Don't go to
Mego.
See you.